As many of you know, last week was one of the weeks where I sort of let the youth group write my homily. I put it together. And one of the youth last night was asking me if I was still taking suggestions. I was like, well, what have you got? And he said, well, the fact that the Holy Trinity is like a pizza. So I humored him. How is that so? He's like, well, it's a circle. There's no beginning or end to it. There's three major components, the crust, the sauce, and the cheese. The crust is that from which the others proceed. The cheese is that which we see, just as Christ was the face of the Father on the earth. And the sauce is the love of the Holy Spirit that binds them together. Well, that's actually pretty good theology. I'm not going to use it as the cornerstone of my homily, but to know those things and be able to apply it to pizza, that's pretty good. But really, if we want to understand the Trinity, and we'll never truly understand it because it's a mystery, it's beyond our comprehension, but God gives us the ability to understand parts of who He is so that we can grow in relationship with Him. And we'll always spend our entire life and even eternity learning more and more about God. And the more we'll learn, the more we'll want to know, because God is the source of all beauty, truth, and goodness. So it's a good exercise, even though it'll always be more to learn as much as we can. And the church gives us a wonderful rule for how to understand the mysteries of the faith. And it's lex orandi, lex credendi, that as the law of prayer is the law of the faith, that as we pray, we believe. And if we want to understand something about who God is, we look at the way that the church prays to God, or the way the church honors the Blessed Mother, or the way the church interacts with the saints. These are the ways we look at the prayers that allow us to understand something of who God is. And one of the prayers that we say over and over again, especially in the liturgy, but probably don't think about very often, myself included, is the end of the opening and closing prayers of the Mass. You know, the collect at the beginning, which is when we collect all of our prayers together that we just prayed before the readings. And then the closing prayer, or the prayer after communion, where we give thanks to God for having given Himself to us on the altar. And that's when we say, we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. That prayer, the ending of a prayer, really, contains the truth of who we believe the Trinity is and our interaction with the Trinity. It's a communion of three persons. And if we break that down a little bit, we look at the first part. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that means that we're not necessarily praying to the person of Christ in that moment. We're praying to the person of the Father. But we're asking it through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus came to earth as a man in order to become the face of the Father, in order to give us somebody on our level who is going to help us to understand who the Father is, help us to pray to the Father. So God humbles Himself to become a man, one of us, in all things but sin, but then to lift our mind to be able to pray to the Father. And that's why when the apostles asked Jesus, Lord, how can we pray? Jesus said, begin by saying, Our Father. It's always a prayer directed to the Father. But that doesn't mean that we're not praying to Christ as well, because they share that one nature, that one divine nature. And so that's why Christ was rightly able to say, when you see me, you see the Father. St. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you not understand this? And of course, they wouldn't understand it until the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we're praying through Christ, who has always been our intercessor, who lived co-eternally with the Father, though He comes into time in a moment, and that's when He begins to help us to lift our minds and our hearts to God the Father. So it begins that way. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, God the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we say that the Holy Spirit is spirated by the Father and the Son. It's the same place we get our word for inspiration or respiration. It's a breathing forth of the Holy Spirit. That in that moment of love between the Father and the Son, there is a sigh, a breath that spirates the Holy Spirit. Not in a certain time. This is eternal. So all three persons are always eternal. So we're asking this through the unity of the Holy Spirit, that principle that unites. In Pentecost, we were talking about how the Holy Spirit is what keeps the Catholic Church united. That's always what the Holy Spirit does. It unites. He doesn't divide. So while Christ came and taught us how to pray, he ascended to the Father. We celebrated that 2 weeks ago. Last week we celebrated Pentecost, which is the promise of Christ, which he kept to when he ascended to send the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit dwells within us, each one of us, from baptism and confirmation. So that's how we pray. St. Paul says in Romans that we don't know how to pray, but that the Spirit within us prays in inexpressible groans. That the Holy Spirit is the one who, even though we struggle to pray, is the one praying through us. Which means that no amount of prayer is ever wasted. We may not feel like we've grown in virtue. We may not feel like we're very close to God. But simply spending that time and letting the Holy Spirit pray through us, that is the greatest use of time we can possibly have, because it's not our activity. True prayer isn't our activity, it's the activity of the Holy Spirit within us, which means that even though our efforts are imperfect, the prayer that we pray through the Holy Spirit is perfect. So it's never a waste of time. The Holy Spirit is always working through us, helping us to pray. So we talk about that in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. So all three persons are eternal, co-equal, and we're praying through them and to them. And really what happens then is we're caught up into that Trinity. You know, when we prayed the Mass, you'll notice in the Eucharistic prayer there it's very Trinitarian. First the priest calls down the Holy Spirit upon the gifts to make them holy, to make them worthy of being transformed to the body and blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. And then the prayer is to the Father, to ask him to make present the Son. Because just as God the Father sent Jesus into the world in time, so in the Eucharist, it's the Father who sends Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we'll notice through the whole Mass today, especially in the Eucharistic prayer, that we're praying to God the Father to make Christ present through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the whole Trinitarian aspect of the Eucharistic prayer. And that's the most communion we can have with anyone on this world. And those people that we have, those persons that we have communion with, it's God himself. So whenever we're feeling like we might be alone or that we're not connected with others, we have to realize that when we pray to the Trinity, that we are not just praying to a deity out there, as the ancients thought, but that we're actually being caught up into a communion of persons. So intimately that it's beyond anything that we can experience here on earth, and yet it's what we long for. Whenever we have a real deep connection with a friend and we feel like we are connected with that person in a real way, that's just a shadow or an image of the communion that we long for with God. And that we're capable of having, whether we feel it or not, every time we pray, and especially every time we receive communion. That's ultimately what heaven is. It's communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and with all of us. With all the saints who have gone before, with all of those we're with now, and all the saints that will come. That's why becoming a saint is the only thing that really matters. Because St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you."